Does he bring you an apple every day?
No. Daddy is supposed to teach him.
All right, let me see here tonight before I get too far here. We're looking back and finishing up Psalm 42. Maybe, Lord willing. I think we will. We should. It's not our fault, preacher. It's yours if we don't. So, right. Psalm 42. And we've covered quite a few of the verses all the way up through to verse 5. And we're going to do 6, I should say, through 11. And again, this is part number 4. Al, back there, it's Things Trouble Can Teach Us, part 4. So by way of introduction here, very short, very brief, we have been looking at Psalm 42 and gleaning from this psalm a number of lessons that we learn when trouble happens to us. And some things we learn are nothing. We don't learn anything from them because we go back to them again and again. Others, we learn that we can apply to our lives when a trouble or when troubles, because usually when you have a trouble, you usually have other troubles that seem to fall on its coattails along the way. But we've been looking at, number 1, troubles have the ability to put our lives on hold. In verse 1, we had looked at that, and that is that there are those who, I use my oldest son Ron as an illustration, how his life was put on hold, and he wasn't able to go to work. He had to spend time on chemotherapy there in the Enfield area in Massachusetts at the Bay State. And then he went over to Boston. He was over there for 4 weeks or so. And now he's back home. Still can't get back to work yet until he clears the hurdles for, his immune system's back up where it ought to be, where it should be for sure. So, but it put his life on hold and put Tammy's on hold as well, because she was over in Boston with him. She's going to work, Lord willing, she'll be going to work tomorrow for the first time in about 5 or 6 weeks or so. And so troubles can do that to you, can't they? And they can put you flat on your back, or just all kinds of different things put your life on hold. You may have had your plans for that day, and trouble can happen during that daytime, and all of a sudden you had to rearrange your plans, didn't you? The second thing we looked at, troubles have the ability to cause us to change course. We could be heading in the wrong direction. We're not listening to anybody who's trying to give us any counsel, so God has to step in, and He allows troubles to enter our lives in order to change our course. Number 3, troubles have the ability to test our faith, and certainly they do that, as we read in verse 3. Sometimes we think we are a lot further along than what we really are, and then all of a sudden some troubles come our way and begin to realize. Now, because we have troubles doesn't mean that our faith isn't where it ought to be. But we may find out that during that we thought we were a little bit further along than what we were, because also we begin to get grumpy, we get frumpy, we get mad with God, we get how those things come, and you kind of take it out on God a little bit and say, after it's a little while, being realized, boy, where did that all come from? God wants us to know that we may not be as far along as we could be or as we should be. But number 4, troubles have the ability to raise dangerous questions. Such as, well, why me, Lord? I didn't deserve this. Well, there could be other questions that could be raised. You may have thought of a few that you have faced troubles along the way there. But one of the most dangerous questions you could ask is, Lord, I don't really deserve this. And if this is all, this is what the Christian life involves, then I don't want to be a Christian any longer, or I'm not going to do the things that I used to. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to go to church. Well, see, those are the dangerous answers to the question of why me, Lord? Or if this is what the Christian life is all about, then I'm not in it anymore. Well, the trouble is, once you get saved, you're always saved, unless you're really not saved to begin with. So number 5 is troubles have the ability to force us to make decisions. And who knows what decision you may be making, a wrong decision. And troubles come along there, and God says, and you begin to realize, okay, well, I'm beginning to see some things I didn't see before, and so I'm going to make some changes here. So anyway, force you to make decisions in a number of areas of your life. And so tonight, a few more things that we can learn from our troubles, and that would be number 6 is that trouble has the ability to seem unending. Seems like every time you turn around, there's another problem on the heels of that particular problem. And so it happens more often than we care to venture to think about. But he says here in verse 7, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy ways and thy billows are gone over me. So he's kind of in a dark place in his life right now, the writer of this particular psalm. I don't believe it's not really attributed to David at all. But we've all heard the expression at one time or another, when it rains, it pours. When it rains, it pours. And when it pours, it rains. Well, of course, that's understandable. That's why I changed it around. So if it was when it pours, it rains. If it rains, it pours. But sometimes it just rains. But sometimes it also really pours. Anyway, when it rains, it pours, in which the idea is that troubles follow troubles. Now, not always, but a good percentage of the times, and especially if we respond wrongly to the trouble that we're experiencing, then that can foster other problems or other troubles as well. But sometimes it seems as though troubles come in groups and in an unending pattern. During such times, it appears that all is dark and foreboding, and we begin to despair. So it's during these times of darkness that the light of the Lord shines its brightest. And I was thinking about this as I had penned it down, that His presence is the constant reminder that He never leaves us, nor does He ever forsake us. He never leaves us. But sometimes in the darkness of troubles, we don't always see Him right away. And at the same time, how many of you really thought much about the Lord today? How much of you really spent time thinking about the Lord today? I mean, hey, everything was going okay. Your car is running great. Your job's going good. The cat and the dog didn't get into a tailspin fight at the house and tear things apart one thing or another. You know how that goes. And so, this was kind of one of those zippity-doo-dah days. Amen. It was one of those things. I got a bluebird on my shoulder. It wasn't maybe as warm as some of you would have liked it, but that's okay. It was still not 6 feet of snow. So be thankful for that. Amen. But, it just seems like we're going through our daily course, the daily routine of our business, that we don't really spend a lot of time thinking about the Lord, or even when something goes amiss or something is kind of off kilter a little bit, we don't say, okay, Lord, help me to get refocused here or something. Usually we try to deal with whatever it is that's up front there. But on an average particular day, how much time do you really spend thinking about praying, about the Lord, period, let alone praying or meditating or whatever it is that you might be doing at the time? And usually when it's one of those zippity-doo-dah days, I'll get it out right, we don't really spend a whole lot of time thinking about the Lord. But in our troubles, that's when we can see Him at His best. He's at His brightest. He's there if you have a mind to look for Him and not allow your troubles to overshadow the fact that He has given to us a promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So it is one of those truths that when life is going well and we are cruising along life's road, that we typically are not aware of His presence. He's there. However, there is not a sense of urgency as when we find ourselves dealing with trouble or multiple troubles in our life. Where are you, Lord? Lord, this is not a good time. These are all indications like He's kind of out of the picture a little bit there and He doesn't know what He's doing. Well, God knows what He's doing all the time. Amen? And so troubles are not insurmountable, nor are they unending, which gives us the impression that they are. If we turn over to Job chapter 5. In Job chapter 5, looking at verses 6 and 7. And we all know by this time, Job's up to here in trouble. He's up to here in his problems and beyond that. He's lost his family. He's lost his, well, not lost his family. He kept his wife. Maybe he should have kept the kids and gotten rid of the wife. I'm not sure. Because she's the one who told him to curse God and die. So get it over with. But nonetheless, his children had been killed. He had lost all of his, basically all of his wealth. And then in the second attack, God allowed Satan to steal away his health. During that time. So at this particular time, he's got an idea what it's all about. So in verses 5 and 6 here, he says, whose heart...
6 and 7.
I'm sorry. I was going to get there, but I said, that's all right. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Troubles come. He goes on, he says, yet man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. Now, Job was experiencing trouble in his life, not because of something that he did, but because, well, I guess I'm going to take that back. He did. He was a righteous man. He believed God. And that's what got him into trouble. Okay, same thing with Joseph. Joseph did when he was in a house, in Potiphar's house. Temptation was, I mean, right in front of his face there. And he left the house. He ran out of the house. He hightailed it out of there very, very quickly. And he ended up in jail. So there are those times that things like this come into our lives. And it says, again, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And so, as we seem to be overwhelmed by trouble or troubles, we have point number 8, which is verse number 8 back there in Psalm 42. So it leads right into this verse right here. And again, it says there, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness into what? In the daytime. And in the night, his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. So, when troubles come our way, and we have prepared ourselves, now how do you prepare yourself for troubles that you don't even know are coming yet? Well, you get in the Word of God, and you stay in the Word of God, and you meditate in the Word of God, and you study the Word of God. And you learn and you memorize Scripture and you memorize passages of Scripture and you get familiar with Bible characters and look what they went through and how God blessed them and how God took blessings away from them along the way there. And when you find yourself going into troubles, your mind should kick into gear right off the bat. Okay, well, is this something I've done that I need to make right? So you get along with the Lord. Lord, did I do something wrong? And you're trying to get my attention. And Lord, you've got my attention here. Now, you guide me and direct my thought like through this whole particular pattern. But what was the Boy Scout motto? Always be what? Always be prepared. God's people almost seems like many of us get broadsided instantaneously. Like, wow, where'd that come from? And what in the world happened here? And we begin to question God. But as the people of God, if we're in the Word of God, as we ought to be in the Word of God, and we're meditating as we ought to be meditating in the Scriptures, we're humans, and we may be surprised, but we don't remain surprised long. We all of a sudden, what we have prepared ourselves for Bible principles and Bible truths and some Bible characters in our thought patterns, then we're preparing ourselves for that time when we may find ourselves in similar circumstances along the way. And so we have got to prepare ourselves. So the seventh thing tonight is trouble has the ability to sharpen our vision. To sharpen our vision in verse 8. Once again it says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. So what is the difference between kindness and loving kindness? Well, one is more intense than the other. You can be kind and not love somebody. But loving kindness is you act out of that. That is your impetus, is love itself. And so as redeemed of the Lord, we have to be determined that whatever swirls around us in our lives, we're not going to lose our vision of God and His promises. So when we are disappointed about who gets elected to the White House, or to the governor's office in Montpelier, and it's not of our liking, and we figure, okay, these guys are all doomsday people. They're going to lead us down the road and over the cliff. Yeah, but you know, God has all about it. He knows all about it. We don't have to be all upset about it, but we have to come to that place in our lives. We say, okay, you know what? My eyes are on the Lord. He has us here for this time. This is our hour. And God expects certain things from us during this particular time. Now stand for right. Stand for righteousness. Absolutely. And expose wickedness and lies and deception no matter where it is. Whether it's in the pulpit or whether it's in the White House, in the Oval Office, wherever it might be. Whether it's the Senate or the House. If there's lies and deception going on there, you expose it. And as it ought to be. So, I mean, how ridiculous it is for someone to refuse to take curative medicines. I mean, who knows what the chemotherapy is going to do to your dad? We know what it can do as far as makes your life miserable for, well, usually 3-4 days afterwards, and then you just seem like you get back on your feet there, and you got to go for the next dose of chemo, and it takes you right back down that road, and it's emotionally and it's mentally taxing. I've never had chemo, but I've been around folks who have had it. My son's had it on two different bouts with the lymphoma the first time, then lymphoma the second time, it's a difficult treatment to have to deal with all the way through this here, but. At least he knows that this, and if this is going to be curative, then I'm going to do it. Same thing with those of us who've had cancer here, and we've had radiation treatment and so on. You go through it because if it's curative, fine. If God chooses not to heal, then that's just the way it's going to be. But you did it because, well, you've got family you want to take care of, and you still want to be with your wife and your family and so on. So, but there are people who say, I'm not going to take that medication. I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to take that there. Now, I'm not talking about the vaccine. This is my choice, not someone else's choice for me. I'm making my own choice, my own decisions I go through there. Yet many believers abandon their walk with God or failure to read and meditate in the Scriptures. And Job, well into his trouble, stated this: neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So it wasn't like he said, boy, you know, Lord, I spent X number of years, and probably he's in his late years, and he's facing these issues. And he didn't turn around and say, listen, the last 70, 80 years, I've been living for you, and I got this great testimony, and people know. He didn't try to reason with God any of that whatsoever. He just simply said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. So he didn't say, I quit. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm going to find some other God somewhere else. But he says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Talking about soul food, if you will. But his troubles were real. They were gut-wrenching. I mean, how would you like when a neighbors come and tell you, listen, your house just burned up and your family just burned up with it. Your kids all burned up with it. Or down there in Kentucky, and that tornado that came down through, I'm trying to think what the name of the city is, but it came through the city down there, and quite a few people died in that there, and a number of them were children. So how do you face those issues? I mean, they're gut-wrenching. There's emotional, to say the least, and yet he kept close to the Lord, and he never lost his focus in the troubles. And that's one of the things you've got to work extra hard on. Tell yourself day in, day out, if troubles come my way, I'm going to make sure I keep my focus on the Lord. And if you get your mindset on that, that's exactly what's going to happen. You will purpose that when troubles come, the first thing I'm going to do is seek the Lord. And so we are more aware, we should be more aware of God's loving kindness. Notice as there, it says in the verse 8, in the daytime and in the night, his song shall be with me. So things we typically do not experience, though we could, when we are having a zippity-doo-dah day. We just kind of day is cruising. We don't really need God. We're going to put him in the back seat while we just drive on down the road. And then all of a sudden, trouble comes that way, and we try to grab him out of the back seat and put him up in the... No, he needs to be in the driver's seat all the time. Whether it's a zippity-doo-dah day or it's a miserable day, whether we wake up tomorrow and there's 3 feet of snow, you can say, oh, humbug all you want to. It's there. You see it with it one way or another. Amen? But it's during those days that we're wrestling that God says, I'm right here with you. I'm standing beside you. I'm going to lead you out of this. So while God continually demonstrates his kindness to us, daily is during our troubles that he wants to demonstrate his loving kindness. He can be very kind to us throughout the day, but his loving kindness is really available during our trials and tribulations. So, number 8 tonight before we get into prayer time is trouble has the ability to shape our future. Verses 9 through 11, it says there, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they daily say unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. So he is what? He is the health of my countenance. You know, God's people ought not to look like sour pickles. Mm-mm. Ought to have a smile on your face. Even when you get angry, smile, grin. Get a chest, practice that Cheshire cat smile. You know, just kind of get a big smile out there, because he is the health of our countenance. He gives us a strength that we would not normally have. He gives us a joy that we would not always have in difficult situations and when things don't look like they're going right. So the point here is, troubles are either going to make us better or they're going to make us bitter. If you and I have been preparing mentally the fact that we live in a fallen world, troubles come and troubles go. Sometimes they're big and sometimes they're small. But nonetheless, troubles come and they go. And if we develop a mindset that God knows all about it, God wants me to walk through this, God wants me to deal with this, and I'm going to keep my focus on Him, and I'm going to let Him lead me through this whole thing here, and I'm going to let the Lord use this trouble to make me a better believer, not a bitter believer. There's just too many bitter believers out there. So regardless of how strong we may feel that we are in our faith, there are times when questions come in the midst of our troubles. And I don't necessarily think it's wrong. We should have to be careful that we don't dwell on those questions and realize, boy, that's a foolish question sometimes. But you remember John the Baptist? Tremendous man of God. I like what somebody posted on Facebook there that it was a baby in the womb that reacted to the news of Christ in his mother's womb. So there's movement. There's life. Not like the yahoos out there who try to tell you there's no such thing as that. That's why they're pushing abortion. What a sad lot. They must be the most unhappy people in the world. That they've got to actually sign on to killing babies. They really have to be... I'm going to say something I'm going to regret. Anyway, John the Baptist was imprisoned for preaching against adultery. He preached against Herod because he took his brother Philip's wife. And, of course, her daughter that danced a very, I guess, a licentious dance with all the men, and it really pleased Herod. So he said, "Well, hey, listen, whatever you want, are you going to get it?" And so she asked for the head of John the Baptist. But he was in prison before that. And it would seem that the longer John the Baptist was in prison, the questions did arise. Now, they didn't prior to the prison, but the longer he was in prison, it seemed to raise the question of some doubts. Was his cousin Jesus really the Messiah? And he, in the scriptures, asked that question. Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 23, if you want to mark it down. And he sent his disciples to ask if he indeed was the one. Are you the long-awaited Messiah? And Christ did miracles, one after another. The blind received their sight. The sick were healed. And they went back to John and told him what Jesus had done. That's how he answered the question, are you the one? Are you the Messiah? And I'm sure that probably settled the heart of John the Baptist prior to his beheading. But it is about handling ourselves in a godly fashion with a godly focus that reaffirms our hope and our commitment and the committing of ourselves to once again praising the Lord, even in the midst of our problems. Going back to verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And it's probably a rhetorical question. But he says, as he answers it to himself, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Now, I'll praise him presently, and I will praise him when the trouble is over. So you get two testimonies. You get to be a testimony during the troubles, when people are confused as to why you're praising God when, hey, a loving God wouldn't allow you to go through these things here. And we say, oh, yeah, he does. He has his reasons. He has his purposes. And we give him the praise. And then when it's all over with, we turn around and we have a testimony for church. We have a testimony during it and we have a testimony afterwards. Amen. And we let others know that our God is a loving God. So, remaining in God's Word keeps our hope anchored in the person of the Lord and our Savior, regardless of what storms are coming our direction. So we have to have our focus on the zippity-doo-dah days, and we have to have our focus on the Lord even during troubled times. Amen? So that kind of ends Psalm 42. And we're moving on. We only have another bazillion to go, and we'll get there, Lord willing. I may not finish it, but I know if anybody else who comes after me is going to want to finish it either, but we'll see. Anyway, on a prayer list here, I don't know if we have any additions. We still have Richard Phelps on there, and we put Isabel's family and put them on there. I don't think we added any on there. I got an updated one. I think I have an updated one in here. I did officially put Jessica. Yes, I did put Jessica on there. So I did see Brian today. I didn't get a chance to talk to him. Was it today? He was down at Lowe's. Only in civil service jobs can two people go someplace where it only needs one.
Yeah, well, you don't want to park
time. Yeah, I was thinking about that, but I saw. Pardon? Yeah, yeah. I noticed that when every time I have a run into Brian down there at Home Depot, or not Home Depot, but down there at Lowe's, there's always two, maybe three. So we'll have to try that. Anyway, any additional prayer requests we need? The students are coming home this week, right? They should all be home, almost all of them be home Saturday. So, Chris?
Oh, well, they're dismissed tomorrow.
Dismissed tomorrow. Okay.
Our daughter, Kate, who lives in Tennessee, she and her husband are going to the hospital, so she has to get induced 2 weeks early.
Okay.
Richard,
how early is she?
2 weeks early. They're reducing her labor on purpose.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so. And that's tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. Penny.
It's more of a blessing, but to a lot of people that have gone through the tragedy of the tornadoes and stuff. I don't know if folks saw it, but it was such a blessing to me. There's a woman who was going to check on her brother, and she was doing footage for insurance purposes, and she goes in the house, and the house is totally a mess, and there's her brother in the corner playing Jesus' name above all names on the piano.
Yes.
What an encouragement. No matter what you're going through this week, for that man to be sitting there giving praise to the Lord with no roof on his house, nothing left and everything else, I don't care what you're going through, that's the peace that passes understanding. So for whoever that man is,
you won't see that on MSNBC or CNN. You won't see it on there. Not allowed. You see it on Fox, probably. If it has been on there already, I don't know. We'll see. All right, so if we get ready to go here tonight, we've got Jack, you want to do group number one?
Okay.
Steve, are you going to have pregnancies and spiritual needs? Clark? Salvations and missions. And then I'll do group two. And we had a good time at the Pastor's Fellowship. You know, it's pretty bad when you're the oldest ones there. You know there's older guys there, but they don't show up. But Peg said there was a lot of young men that were there with their wives. So that's good to see actually some younger guys. But I have no idea whether maybe the older people were scared off. I was just too dumb to know any better. Maybe I missed something on the PS at the bottom of the invitation for the pastor's wife's dinner. I don't know, but it was good. So just pray that these young men that keep their hearts and their lives focused on God. That's so important, so critical that they do that. So, all right. Sorry.
Lord, Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here tonight. And thank you for answering our prayers.
being so kind to us. We pray that our sides will remain healthy. Pray for Rosa, for her heart, and for the doctors to know what to do. And apparently they're not going to do the ablation, but just give them wisdom in dealing with that, and Rosa, and help her with her other problems that she has, and give her strength for all these changes that are coming about, and the move and everything, and we just pray that you strengthen her and guide her, give her great wisdom. We pray for the Dan Charlie Ministries, that you continue to help them to get the meetings they need, and for their finances and for safety as they travel around out in the Texas area. And we pray for our president and his family to be saved for their salvation. We pray for not only he, but our governor and all the legislators from the Washington House and Senate to our state House and Senate, that these men and women that are making the rules and laws that we have to follow will be guided by the Word of God, that as many as possible can be saved. We just pray for their salvation, and that they would look at things through godly eyes instead of the world's vision. We pray for our judicial system as well, that the judges from the Supreme Court now would make rulings that would be godly and not against the Word of God. For example, abortion. We pray that that would be ended in our country. We pray for Mike's leg and circulatory problems, as well as some others of us that have diabetic problems. We just pray that you continue to help us. And we pray for Robin D. dealing with lung cancer, that you be with her and with the doctors. And we thank you that Ron Gangler is doing pretty well right now. But just pray that you continue to help his immune system to be strengthened, and for the doctors that are continuing to give him various treatments, and just for his mental strength and spiritual strength, and for he and his wife as well, as they've had to change so many of their plans. And we just pray that through all this, he'll come out with no cancer, and that he'll be just returned to the full good health. We pray for Anita M. and dealing with a family crisis. Pray that she'll seek your word for godly wisdom and how to deal with this, and through it, her family members can get saved, and just see God at work in her life. We pray for Steven Ross, who's dealing with myasthenia gravis, that you help him with that, and help the doctors to help him to be more comfortable, and just to be strengthened to get through life with this new thing. We pray for Richard Phelps for his continuing health and his battle with cancer. We pray that you help him to just know that you're close and that you are guiding and helping him to feel a little better. Thank you for all these things that we've come to you with, in Jesus' name.
Our Father, we continue to pray tonight. We think, especially this time of the year, we consider and think of the miracle of the birth of Christ. Father, we're so thankful for that. But Lord, while there is absolutely no comparison, Lord, we still marvel at the miracle of the birth of a child. There are a number of folks that are waiting patiently and yet anxiously for the birth of a child. Lord, even amongst our church family here, we think of Dalia. Lord, while it's certainly Leah, the mother that goes through the most intense changes and physical struggles, if you will, what the child also does during the birth process. But Father, the whole family is really affected. And so, Father, we just pray and ask God you would protect the child and spiritual health of the whole family, Lord, especially when siblings are involved, and pray that you would touch each one of those siblings' hearts, and even prepare them while they might be a bit older, or still quite young, Father, just pray that, Lord, your spirit will guide their peace between them. Not only David, but we also think of Jessica and Brian that are expecting their sacrifice. Father, just pray once again, Lord, that you would intervene on their behalf. Lord, give help and strength. And Lord, just pray that your will is accomplished for these families. And then thank you, Richard and Faith, for hearing tonight that should be going to the tomorrow to be induced. Lord, it's by all stretch of man's wisdom, 2 weeks early, in terms of the expected time for delivery. But Father, we just pray that regardless of what man might think, that Lord, your timing is always just great for your purposes. So Father, we just pray that you would, Lord, also come alongside Faith and the family there, Lord, just give a peace where Lord, mankind cannot know peace outside of your presence. So Father, we just pray for your will to be accomplished, to be saved, and the child saved as well, and they accomplished in their family, Lord, according to their training, according to what's best for both the mother and the child as well during this induction and expected birth. So Father, we just pray, God, that you would work mightily there. And then we think of this organization, Aspire Together, Lord, as they try to speak to and teach and counsel for young ladies who or don't want to bring their baby, bring their children to full term. Oftentimes they want to seek to just abort the child, but Lord, through your spirit, we're giving these mothers some kind of need to go and seek some help and counsel. Lord, it's really crazy for organizations that can do so with a biblical standpoint or a standpoint of faith. So Father, just pray that you give wisdom and counsel. Lord, we ask that you would provide the financial needs and counsel. So tremendous free financially, sure. We pray that you would accomplish them along with that. Lord, may there be families, Christian families, Lord, that are ready, willing, and able to, or even make arrangements for adopting some children if these mothers just do not want to keep them. But Lord, may they give them life and bring them to a full delivery, and then we'll allow that child to be adopted into perhaps a family that cannot have children of their own. Father, you will be accomplished for all of these things. And then, Father, we also thank tonight of those in this world that, Father, perhaps at one time made a profession of faith. Lord, they come to a saving knowledge, yes. Lord, whether it's the cares of the world, or whether it's a lack of discipleship, or Father, whatever the case might be, the troubles that have come into their lives, perhaps even as we continue our studies tonight. Father, may these folks that have experienced this kind of besetting trouble, Lord, may you work in their hearts and minds, Father, through the Holy Spirit, bring them to that place where they'll come back to you, Lord, and begin to grow once again in the grace of God and the knowledge of God. So, Father, we praise tonight for your will to be accomplished with each of these precious souls that we have listed, Elizabeth, Susanna, and Tommy H. Father, we pray for Chris S., Jason S., Patty B., Victoria B., as well. We pray, Father, for Jerry Q, Justin B, we pray for Edwin, Tracy, and Sam Y. Father, we also thank tonight of Jordan, John, Gail, Arthur, Jacob C, Keith D. Father, we want to pray for Andrea, looking up Chelsea B, Emily H, Jacob H, Brian, Jessica T, Lorraine B, also Zach T, Daniel H. Father, each of these, Lord, you know the severity of the needs. Father, you know how close they may not be to making some great strides toward a spiritual life. But Father, we just pray. The Lord, your Holy Spirit will have you completely in each of these lives and bring it back to you. Help them to grow. And Father, we ask you in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, it's around salvation, Lord. Number of folks here on the prayer list are seeking salvation. People have met these people and witnessed to them. Lord, at least the seed is planted and watered, but they need to have a final acceptance of thee, Lord, once and for ever. Lord, if you could call us, Sharon, drop in, or if you're awesome, getting at Cindy, call me. I Tommy, Mark, John, L. For salvation, Lord, as I said, more than likely the seed has been planted. We just pray, Lord, give me grace. And you are the missionaries, Lord, Pastor, Mrs. Chris Pigmore, and family in Ecuador, South America, Dr. and Mrs. Williamson. Voice in the Wilderness, and this is Janet Burchell, ARM Ministry of BIMI, and many other missionaries, Christian folks who are working diligently to bring others to Christ. Lord, bless all their efforts, and many souls to be saved. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, tonight we also rejoice in this particular avenue that you have given to us, that we can come boldly to your throne. And Lord, we realize it's because of what you did at the cross of Calvary, that as we're cleansed by your blood and clothed with your righteousness, that we can come boldly before this throne. And Lord, we do so as we continue to remember people and Lord, lift them up before your throne of grace as we join others in the process. We continue to pray for Brother Jim's eyes and his physical mobility. And, Lord, whatever bit of pain he is dealing with there, that, Lord, you'll guide and direct, and that, Lord, help him to realize that the best way to be able to get back on his feet on a regular basis is to, Lord, there's no easy way. It's a difficult route, but, Lord, if he'll persevere, then, Lord, he can triumph. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll just work in his heart and his mind that, Lord, he'll work toward that end. Lord, we pray for all of our students that are traveling this week, some by plane, some by car. Lord, we do ask and pray that you give them traveling mercies, that they'll be alert, pay attention, and Lord, you'll put a hedge of protection about them and bring them home safely. Lord, we pray the same for our EMT, firemen, and police personnel, that Lord, your hedge of protection around them. And Lord, it's not that easy to get volunteers, men and women, who are willing to step up and give it their time. Lord, these are not just volunteers that jump into something, but Lord, these are volunteers who have to be trained, and Lord, they have to undergo continual training. And so, Lord, we pray that, Lord, you'll bless them. Lord, especially if they do not know you as their own personal Lord and Savior, that as they come across believers in their travels, in their emergencies, that, Lord, they'll hear the gospel and that they will receive Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we are, again, thrilled with the live streaming, that, Lord, we can reach places where we could not other physically reach. And, Lord, you've made this medium available to us. And, Lord, may we use it wisely. And, Lord, may your Spirit guide and direct everything that is accomplished through it. Lord, we pray that you'll move in the hearts of those who receive the letters that we send out, inviting them to the church. And that, Lord, there's got to be, out of 8,000 names, there's got to be a couple out there that some way, someplace, are looking for hope, looking for help. And that, Lord, that letter will come at just the right time. That, Lord, whether it's to lead them to a saving knowledge of Christ, or, Lord, maybe they've gotten away from you, they've backslidden along the way there, and that, Lord, we would have the opportunity to be able to help them restore their lives back to you. But Lord, we pray for Marty. We pray that you'll guide and direct in her life, the emotional, the physical, and the spiritual as well. Lord, we pray for Isabel's family tonight. Again, it's never easy to have any of our parents leave us, and Lord, but in Ellie's life, it was a special time, and that, Lord, you said that she has had her ministry here on earth, and now she's going to come home and enjoy the pleasure and the presence of the Lord and Savior that she has come to know over these many years. But Lord, you can fill that void in each of the family members, and Lord, we just pray that you will do so. Lord, we think of Diana with dealing with cancer, and Lord, we pray that you guide and direct in this woman's life, especially spiritually and salvation-wise first and foremost. But Lord, the rest, Lord, it's really up to your purposes. But Lord, I know that you wouldn't want her to go to a crisis eternity, so Father, we pray for her. Lord, we think of Arden, continued recovery from surgery processes there, and maybe even yet many more to come. Because of the birth defects, but we pray that you'll guide and direct, and that the family would come to know Christ, that through this process they're going to come across someone who knows you as their own personal Lord and Savior, that will share the gospel. Lord, for Lucy, that you should have a good year in school. May her parents be aware of some of the things that even kindergartners are being taught that they have no business teaching them. So, Father, may they be alert. But Lord, watch over this girl's mind and heart and her soul. Lord, for Lena, as she continues with her cancer treatments, Lord, may she find many occasions to be able to share the gospel as she goes through these treatments. For Karen Doolin, for healing for her foot, pray that you'll really help to mend and to heal that any x-rays will show that it has healed and that she'll be able to put weight back on that. Salvation for the owner of the good store, Lord, we pray that he would get saved and grow spiritually enough to realize that some of the stuff that he's selling there ought never to be sold. And that, Lord, you'd guide and direct. If not, then, Lord, may that door go out of business and close down. Lord, we think of Willie as he continues to heal from the COVID and, Lord, getting stronger with each and every day. But again, Lord, we pray that you'll bring him along a lot faster and get him home, especially during the holidays. Lord, we think of Jim Towers and, Lord, the success for the program that he's involved in for his health. And then, Lord, for Marcia Roy with, again, bladder cancer and salvation. And we pray that you'll guide and direct in this woman's life and those who know her and, Lord, those who are capable and able to witness to her. Lord, we think of Brother Fred Roberts and his wife Jessica as a minister in Arlington. We pray that you'll strengthen them and encourage them with each and every day. And regardless of what they might be facing, Lord, meet those needs, the financial and the spiritual and the emotional as well. And Father, give the traveling mercies to all who are here tonight and heading home. Lord, the roads could be slippery, but nonetheless, it is dark and it's been raining. So Lord, may they be alert and put a hedge of protection around them until we come together on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.